is What the What. I'm Jeff.
And Renee.
And today, this is actually the final episode of season three, I think, right?
Yeah.
So we will be taking a break after this, to regenerate our creative thought processes.
Yeah.
And today, we just decided to just kind of go through some things that we either love or hate. So kind of like the recommendations at the end, but we're just going to do the whole episode about that.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have something you want to start off with? Or
no, I want to hear yours. All right. You had something, yeah.
All right, so the first thing, as most of you know, if you listen to this, I spend most of my time on YouTube, either my YouTube channel or watching stuff on YouTube. And one of my all-time favorite videos on YouTube is the 2004 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony, where there's so much going on in this video. So it's an all-star band doing a tribute to George Harrison,
mm-hmm.
who was enshrined as a solo artist in 2004, posthumously. He had already passed away. So on the stage is Steve Winwood, Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne, and Prince, who was also enshrined in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2004. So they're playing While My Guitar Gently Weeps, one of George Harrison's most famous songs that he wrote.
Okay.
So most of the performance was, you know, pretty standard all-star band stuff, not very exciting, until Prince does his solo. Now there's all kinds of stuff going on in the background. So first of all, Rolling Stone magazine had just released their top 100 guitarists of all time and left Prince off the list.
Mm.
So he showed up to the ceremony like with an axe to grind, like trying to prove, you know, say, hey, I'm still here and I'm one of the greatest, right? So you have that, and that's the story most people know going into that about that video.
Mm-hmm.
You also have the fact that this is George Harrison, who had died not fairly recently, within a couple of years, I forget when he actually died. So this is a tribute to him, and his son was actually playing guitar with the band, Donnie Harrison. So as you're watching the video, there's this one young kid that you've never seen before or since.
Young, like 14?
20s.
Oh, okay.
Or early 20s. So that's actually George Harrison's son that was invited to, that was invited to do this thing with him. So during the rehearsal for this, there's a session guitarist that typically plays with Jeff Lynne, and his name is Mark Mann. And he thought that he was going to be doing all the solos.
Oh.
So during the rehearsal, Prince goes to start the bridge solo, but Mark Mann is right there and he takes it. And then the outro solo, same thing. Prince is getting ready to start the outro solo, but Mark Mann he does the solo, and it's a great it's a note for note recreation of the solo from the original song. Right? It's fine. He's a professional guitarist. That's what he was there for. So Prince, no problem, played it off, he's cool. But he talked to the producer, worked out with the producer where Mark would do the first solo, Prince would do the outro solo. So going into the actual live performance, nobody had actually seen what Prince was going to do,
mm-hmm.
right? So now the solo starts and he shreds it. It is, in my opinion, the second greatest guitar solo in history, and I'll talk about the number one a little bit later. Absolutely shreds it, and like he's doing all kinds of crazy licks. And at one point, Tom Petty looked. It's not sure if Tom Petty was getting kind of miffed or if he was enjoying what was going on, but there was one point where Prince falls back into the crowd in the middle of his solo, is caught and like falls off stage backwards. Is caught by a security guard and pushed back up. And you see Tom Petty crack a smile in the background. You see Donnie is just, he's having the absolute time of his life, right? And then after the end of this, like, most amazing solo ever, Prince just throws his guitar up into the air, and it never comes down.
What the fuck?
In the video, it just never comes down. So, like, people that are familiar with this video have all these jokes about, Like, he just threw it in the air and George Harrison caught it. In reality, it's something he does all the time, and he has a roadie that off stage that catches it. And this particular guitar ended up being given to Oprah after their performance. So there's like, if you just watch the video, and it's an amazing performance, and it's an amazing solo. But when you actually start putting all the stuff that surrounded it, mm-hmm. it's like, I can't even talk about it without starting to get choked up. It is the most joyful performance I've ever seen.
Why did you think about that? Is this in your heart always? Like,
yeah, I watch it at least once a month.
Really?
Yeah. There's like five or six music videos that I just constantly go back to. And this is one of them. It's amazing.
I don't know, I'm going to be honest. I don't know that I take joy like that in something like that's a very pure joy.
Yeah.
Just like you're like visibly choked up. Like,
yeah. And I don't get, the only thing that really gets me like that is really good music.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. So music, originally I was a musician. That was my entry into the arts.
What did you play?
Clarinet when I was a real little kid, and then trombone up through a crappy year of college trombone.
Mm-hmm.
So
musical performance
mm-hmm.
will get you.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting because I don't like live music.
Oh, I'll take live music over recorded music. Like, I like recorded music, but I would much rather hear live versions of it. Even with like a string breaking or there's a video of Nick Mason from Pink Floyd. He's playing his drum solo and the stick goes flying off to the right and he just keeps going with one stick.
Yeah.
Love that stuff.
I'm not a musician, like this is something, and I'm almost loath to say it on a podcast and admit it publicly because people really, they, even worse than me saying I'm an atheist or I don't like birds, people are genuinely disturbed when I say I don't like live music. Like, it feels like it's un-American, like I should be shipped out of the country. But I just want to explain myself because we're doing likes and don't likes, right? For me, I'm much more visual than I am auditory. So rarely is live music visually entertaining. So even if I enjoy the music, and I do, like, I listen to a lot of music. Like, I am ingesting music almost 90% of my day. Like, it's on in the background. It's in my car. It's at my house. It's constant. I subscribe to Apple Music. I have all the things. I'm in music. Like, I have a 160 gig iPod that I still use. That brick is a classic, right? And it has 12,000 songs on it. Like, and the only reason I don't have 60,000 songs is because the battery on that doesn't work anymore, right? So, like, right. I'm into music, but I do not want to sit there and watch it.
Oh yeah, it's great.
I can't.
August or September. I gotta check the dates, but I'm actually gonna go to Las Vegas to see a Pink Floyd tribute band, and this will be my fourth time seeing them.
No.
And I spent money on these tickets. Like we're four rows back from the stage.
I mean, bless your heart. Like going to go see, to see that type of stuff. I mean, most people I find enjoy live music. I think I'm kind of an anomaly. I don't.
Mm-mm. All right. What is something you do love?
Okay. I'm going to bring home a theme that I've built on.
Okay.
Throughout, which is one of the jokes in my family is that I don't know how to cook. And the reality was I didn't know how to cook, but there's a couple of things I've learned through the pandemic. So part of the reason I have this reputation in my family for not cooking is because one time when I was 12, I was responsible for putting the spaghetti in the pot. So you had to wait till the water boiled and then you'd put the spaghetti in. And that was the prep. That was the minimum thing you had to do as a child. And I was reading a book and I got distracted and that pot, all the water boiled off the pot and it melted to the stove. Right. So that is my track record inside my family. Right. So like that's. And then I kind of leaned into that. Right. Because it's comedic and I'm a woman and I like the idea of like I'm not a motherfucking cook. Right. Like I don't like that. So and also in my family, my father and my brother are the cooks. Like it's the thing the men did. It's my brother's a phenomenal cook. And my sister's vegan, so she does all of her, she's into like the food and those sort of things. And I wouldn't say she's a great cook, but also she's food centric. And I was just the middle child. And I was just like, I don't know how to feed myself. And then I built a really great life that involved going out to eat. And so like, I'm a foodie in that sense, right? I don't like live music, but I love live food, right? Like right. I love going out, having food. That's how you and I met each other, right? Through food. Okay, so food. Okay, but now I'm home during the pandemic. I can't go out to eat. And it's starting to get sad. I was having meals where it was like, I assembled them. They'd be like crackers and cheese and then some olives and then some grapes. And then I'd pop popcorn on the side. And they were just weird, sad meals. And then I thought, this cannot be, this is not right. Like, this isn't sustainable. So I bought my cast iron skillet. And you guys have heard me talking about this thing. I love this thing. One of the joys I take in life is figuring out like how badly would it hurt if I use this thing to hit somebody, right? Like how a ring is really good about based on how badly it would hurt if you hit somebody, like you backhanded someone with a ring on, right? Well, that's what I feel about this cast iron. It's like, it's a weapon, but also it's a very amazing tool. So like last night I cooked a pork shoulder in it for 4 hours in my cast iron skillet to make shredded pork, brown sugar, shredded pork. It's phenomenal. Like I now want to invite every person over and I want to cook them a specific meal and I want to serve it on. And I bought new tableware. I have fable plates and stuff. I bought new like cutlery. Like I have all these different things I've created to do around food. And it's now I can cook food. So like that was the pandemic. So that's now awesome. I like cooking. I have a stand mixer arriving. Like I ordered a stand mixer so that I could make some sweet stuff. Because also cooking your own sweet stuff is really nice as well. My brother bought me a scale, and so I can like measure, which is more helpful during baking, right? So now I have a scale and mixer. There's a chocolate chip cookie recipe I'm going to try. I was kind of hoping I'd have them done before I came so I could bring you some, but the stand mixer didn't arrive in time. So, but it's great. You guys get a cast iron skillet. They're not that hard. There's this myth about them. They're not that hard. You do need to like treat it like a child, like you need to be very attentive to it, but you don't, it's not that much work. Just do it. Do you have a cast iron skillet?
I do.
Okay.
But I have a glass top stove, so I don't like using
We mentioned that.
I don't like using my cast iron skillet because it every time I set it down, it sounds like it's going to break something.
Yes, I get so. Yeah.
But I have a stoneware pan that I use.
Which is equivalent in that, like, how amazing and versatile and beautiful it is.
No, it's probably not as. It's not as, but for having an electric stove, an electric glass top stove, I think the stoneware is the best. Is the best spot. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Someday I'm gonna live in a house with like a gas stove. Those things are beautiful.
Yeah, I had one.
Did you?
At my last house.
Yeah.
Yeah, trade offs.
Right. Yeah.
All right. Something you hate.
Live music.
Oh. You don't hate it.
I mean, I really do. I'm not really? Gonna lie to you. Yeah. I mean, I'll go see Patty Griffin. She's probably the only person. And I did see a Nine Inch Nails, and my first concert ever was Nine Inch Nails. And that was very the performance. Like he put on a fucking show.
Oh, Trent Reznor?
Yeah. Yeah. But I really don't like it. Like actively don't like it.
All right. All right, so the impetus, so what made me think about this topic in the first place, and so one thing I hate is just the low-grade crap people do to each other on a daily basis.
What do you mean?
Like cutting people off.
Oh, in traffic? This is your traffic story?
And intentionally cutting somebody off. Like, you see the person there, you see them swerve off the road, and then you're like, oh, that was nice of them to swerve off the road for me. Now I can continue my way. No, it's like, and there's no, we have no mechanism to do anything with people that do that, which is why I think we should bring back road rage. And I'm not, maybe like pellet guns.
I was going to say, people have legit been shot over slights. And
they should.
No.
If you're going to run somebody off the road, you need something to tell you that that's not appropriate. Pellet guns. Just a little on the back of your head.
No, because then what ends up happening is the type of people who get mad that you're going 5 over the speed limit would start shooting you. Because they think that's how it should be, right? Do you see how we cannot descend into this type of violence?
I think we're going to anyways. So traffic is only going to get worse.
So why did it enrage you so much? Because you said there was a, like, offline, you were saying, like, off the podcast,
yeah,
you were saying that there was one incident where you just...
Yeah, it was just, it was in a parking lot. And, you know, and there's cars going multiple directions, so I'm waiting for the cars to clear out. And some person just very slowly drove past me on the left and not a lane of traffic and then cut me off. And it's like, what? Why?
Yeah.
You're clearly not in a hurry because you're driving at like 2 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
But you were in enough of a hurry to completely disregard I was there.
Yeah.
And also a week before that, I literally got run off the road.
Really?
Yeah. Over on I-10 on my way to work, somebody was merging. Somebody was coming on the freeway, crossed, like just blew by the right lane of traffic and went all the way over to where I was. And I literally had to drive into the medium to avoid being sideswiped.
Oh, man.
So I'm like, yeah, just. And he saw me because I swerved off the road and then he just kept coming. Like, he didn't try to correct it and go back to where he should have been. So, yeah, I just, you know, and then, like, you know, when people, if you're at a store,
yeah,
and the cashier gives you the incorrect change, I'm the kind of person, I will always correct them.
Sure.
I will give them back the right amount of change. Or if they forget to ring something up, I'm like, hey, are you sure you forgot, you know, I think you missed my 12-pack of beer.
Mm-hmm.
But I know, but so many other people are like, yeah, I got one over on them. I hate that.
Well, I mean, okay. It's not like it comes out of that person's pocket.
It can. It absolutely can. Well, when you balance your cash register at the end of the day.
Yes, absolutely.
When you balance your cash register at the end of the day and you're short, it's coming from somewhere.
Well, not your. Well, okay, but here's the thing. You actually count your change when somebody gives, like, I was just realizing I have no idea if someone gives me the incorrect change.
Well, there's been a couple times, like, if I realize it, like, an hour later, I'm not going back.
Right.
But if I see them doing it, like, this happens, right? Where, like,
I guess it's been so long since I've used cash, I just guess I don't get change back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It happens.
Well, okay, so I think this goes to that shopping cart theory, right? Which is this idea that, like, how willing citizens are to do small things that cost them nothing, so the penalties aren't high. And neither are the rewards, but you do it because you believe in having an organized society. So I think those are all just measures of those things. Like, we don't give two shits.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we just need to give more shits.
Yeah. We need in general just to do a better job of looking out for each other.
Yes, which does not mean shooting people with pellet guns.
No, it absolutely does. People need to know.
Is that how we're going to make it happen?
What other recourse do you have? You're going to call the police and say, you know?
I don't know. Like, it's one of those things where I think that's one of the fundamental challenges I have is, like, how do you convince people to care about other people?
Shooting somebody with a pellet gun is just the traffic version of slapping somebody's hand away.
Violence is the answer.
Get your hand out of my case.
Is that violence of the answer? Is that what you're...
A answer sometimes. Anyways, what's up next?
Okay, so now we both have something we hate.
We both have something we love.
Now we're due for some more love. We can't end on hate.
No, we've only been talking for like 15 minutes. We got plenty of time.
Okay.
All right. So something else that I love.
Okay.
So you mentioned you like the visual aspect of it. So I'll actually go to another video. What I think is actually the greatest guitar solo of all time, and a very odd thing that I really enjoy watching on YouTube is black people reacting to Pink Floyd videos.
Oh.
There's a ton of people that do reaction videos, but for some reason my recommendations are almost always black people reacting to Pink Floyd videos.
Why is that?
I don't know. Probably because I watched one or two and then the algorithm said, but this out all the time.
I guess, I mean, why is it you like them?
Oh, because there's one performance in particular is Pink Floyd's 1994 tour. It was the Pulse tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dave Gilmour's solo for Comfortably Numb. And the solo itself is phenomenal, and it's so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
But then you've got all the lights going on. If you know anything about Pink Floyd, their light show was second to none. And then you've got the 30-foot disco ball. And then the disco ball opens up. And it's just like, it's a smorgasbord of everything that could possibly, I think you would actually like it for this reason.
Mm-hmm.
So all this stuff is going on. And then the solo itself goes on for like 5 minutes, and it just keeps building and building and building and building. And it's just like, and if you don't know what you're getting into, you're like, it's kind of overwhelming.
Hmm.
So watching people, so what's great about reaction videos is I'm never going to have that experience again. I'm never going to experience that for the first time again. But I've watched like 30 people experience it. And you see these women like tears streaming down there. They're like ugly crying watching this. And I'm like, yeah. And I remember that feeling.
But why Black people?
One, because, you know, most white people of my age are already familiar with Pink Floyd. And okay. If they're not, they're like kids. And I don't care, but I don't want to watch kids.
Yeah.
But it's just the algorithm. Like it just like, once I watched two or three videos, YouTube just kept feeding me the same thing. So.
See, it's kind of, I don't know if this is good, but every time you talk about something you like, I'm like, oh, that must be something I don't like, which is because I just wax poetic, well, kind of poetic about how much music I listen to. I do not like music from the 60s and 70s. This is going to be a very weird thing to say, but just bear with me. So I have a little bit of synthesis.
What part of the 70s?
I think this comes from not having good vision as a kid. I basically lived in an impressionistic painting. So like most of my life is coded by color. Things are like color coded in my life and like feelings and times. Like, and so 70s music and this in late 60s music, they all have a particular color of yellow in my mind, this color of yellow teeth. Like when I think of 70s music, I think of yellow teeth. Like there's just this very gross association that was formed very early in my musical life. And I cannot separate those things.
Oh, that happens. Absolutely. I was just thinking about something. I can't remember what it was, but I had that same kind of thing where I had one not positive reaction to something like 20 years ago, and it's just, oh, Vietnamese food. So today for lunch I had pho, and I love pho.
Yeah.
It's like one of my favorite things to eat now. But for the last 20 years, I've had a negative connotation of Vietnamese food because the first Vietnamese restaurant I went to, everything on the menu had lemongrass in it.
Oh, do you like lemongrass?
Well, I didn't care, but it's just like, do you have to put it in literally everything?
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like this one particular, honestly, you know, it's probably like on five things, but it just caught my attention.
Sure.
So I just had that connotation with Vietnamese food until like a year ago. And now it's the most amazing thing in the world.
So if that's like a lead up to say that I could just listen to a Pink Floyd, then I'd be fine. But I'm telling you right now.
I was just saying I can relate to what you
sensation, right? Yeah,
you can have one connotation and it just changes your perspective forever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just like at some point, just as a side note, I used to like mushrooms, and then there must have been this moment where I figured out what a mushroom was, and I cannot have a mushroom now.
Oh, I just started eating blue cheese.
Ugh.
Blue cheese has mold in it. I've been making omelets with blue cheese and spinach.
It's a foot cheese. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
Have you seen that speaking of TikToks, the TikTok where Lou Ballin, he does the one where the internet sensation things, and there's one where it's looking at a person who asks, someone on Facebook, right? It's like, what's your favorite salad dressing? And a bunch of people say blue cheese. And this one woman goes through and comments on every single person, blue cheese has mold in it. And she just is ragging on everybody who likes blue cheese.
All cheese has mold in it.
I know, but blue cheese is particularly gross.
So I was with you until about a year ago, and I was like, I'm going to try this. It is absolutely wonderful.
Oh, God.
It is. I've got some in the fridge right now. I'll go get it for you.
No.
It's so good.
No. No, I'm kind of open to the idea of maybe liking mushrooms again someday. But you know the thing I really would want to like? The thing that I truly wish I could enjoy is fish. Fish things.
Fish took me a long time, yeah.
I like, it for my poor father, right, who grew up on an island and, you know, fresh fish is a thing and my brother loves it and my sister doesn't eat it, of course, but I cannot do it. There's an essence of fish. And I used to say like, I don't eat anything that once lived in the ocean. And someone goes, well, what about trout? I was like, what about trout? She goes, it's a freshwater fish. And I was like, you bitch, I swear to God. So anything that once lived in water, I can't eat. So shrimp, mussels, clams, none of it, lobster, none of it. I can't do it.
Yeah, they live in their own toilet.
Fish?
Yes. Where do you think they poop? Did they get out of the water to poop? No. How vulgar do we want to get on this show? I could go worse. Just start thinking about why ocean water is salty.
I'm gonna use that excuse when people ask me to.
And on that note, we are gonna take a break. We will be back in just a moment. All right, welcome back. We'll see if Renee is... nope, Renee is done. Renee has officially left the building. So Renee is still thinking about fishes and toilets.
Because they're so gross. Like, Listen, I get that they have a lot of really great health properties, and there's something... And so philosophically, I want to like fish, and they can be, you know, sustainably farmed, but they're really gross.
Yeah.
Oh, I hurt myself laughing.
Yeah, I'm clutching my chest. I pulled a muscle in my chest somehow.
Or you're having a heart attack? I'm kind of worried.
No, it's not that.
How do you know?
It's been like 3 days, but it's a muscle. It's on the muscle.
Okay.
It's not under the bone, it's above the bone.
Do you know how good our ratings would be if you had a heart attack?
Yeah. Well, I'll try.
I'm probably going to have a hernia.
All right. So, you already hit fish. Oh, you would probably hate them, but the band Fish, phenomenal live performance.
No, there is zero chance. They are the worst.
All the things you hate, ugh, all rolled into one.
I just don't understand.
The band?
Any of it. Oh, that music of that. I mean, I teach their own, man.
So I started putting together a series of playlists on YouTube of all the top 20 songs on my birthday for every year. Mm-hmm. I was born in 76. Let me tell you, the late 70s top 20 is god awful. This is I'm pretty sure 90% of the performers on there are now in jail for rape, because they just look creepy as hell. And they're singing about she's just 16 or she's just I don't know. It's abysmal, and I'm like, God, I'm just trying to get to 1980s so that the music can get good again. Late 70s, absolute shit show. I feel bad for everybody that was an adult in that time period.
I mean, they love it, though.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You love the music of your era. Everybody does.
No. So one of the really interesting things is, like, most of these songs I've never even heard before, because, like, nobody goes back and listens to these. Hmm. They're terrible.
That's probably of every era, though. Right? There's a bunch of 80s songs we don't listen to anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I've already looked at some of the top 20 charts for the 80s, and it's pretty good music.
I mean, the 80s were pretty choice.
Yeah, but the late 70s, early 70s, that's my jam, like, as you like to say. Early 70s is pretty damn good, but late 70s, oh, my God. Those people really need to check what drugs they were on.
Wow.
So, whose turn is it? You got anything else? Love or hate? Just throw it out there.
Okay, let's do love. I feel like because I'm always bringing it back to hate.
Yeah.
That's usually you. So yeah. I was kind of impressed that I'm able to shit on everything.
All right, what do you got?
For love?
Yeah.
Okay, I I don't really like reality TV, right? Like, at the end of the day, I feel very pulled to plot, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I want a story. I want a narrative arc. I want someone to have crafted the trajectory of a character. And so, like, I'm not going to watch Honey Boo Boo. And I have this good friend, Joy, who was really good at, like, she was really good at, like, she would watch that stuff because it was pure fun for her. Like, it's like eating candy. It was just something she loved. She could unplug and she could watch it. And what was great then is she would come to work and she would give us the Honey Boo Boo update. Like, she would just sort of, like, replay the best scenes for us. And so I always felt tapped into that type of work. And now Joy and I don't live in the same city anymore, so I don't get the update. But I don't. For a long time, I told myself I was, quote unquote, above reality TV. But I think something that any of our listeners here would be like, what the hell are you talking about? You love reality TV. Yes, I love me a competition show. And I love me a competition show where I feel qualified to judge the end product. So for example, a dance show. I know enough about dance. I feel like I can judge that. A glass blowing show, Blown Away. I feel like you can watch that because at the end I can judge whether or not I like the glass.
Right.
I like even a cooking show. I don't get to taste it, but I can see what it looks like. And I can be like, that's a hot mess. I would never, you know, so I can any Skin Wars, anything where it's an artistic pursuit, Project Runway. I have an opinion. Any show in which you're creating art at the end of it, even if that art is cuisine, I am all in and I will watch those constantly. And I adore them. They are fraught with racism. They are also sometimes the worst versions of humans. But like the Great Pottery Throwdown from Britain, that stuff is hella good. I mean, like, it is so good. It's just pure joy. And then any show. And so I've become very, like, snooty about what type of reality TV showdowns I'll watch. Because here's what I think is vital for a good competition show. One is that the competition is the primary focus and not the bitching between characters. I don't like it when there's too much of that. And then two, that, again, I can judge the outcome. And then three, that you're following the people over a course of the competition. So that it's not like, so there's like Cake Wars and these other ones where you have four contestants. I get really attached to a contestant and then they get voted off in the first 10 minutes. And I'm like, what the fuck? So like I want to be able to follow the trajectory, the emotional arc of the series. And that is, I am a sucker. I will absolutely watch any show like that. If I haven't watched it yet, you need to tell me about it. Listeners, someone text me, call me, email, but tell me about a competition show I need to get in on because I love that shit.
So I actually have something on my list that for love and hate, which follows up what you just said.
So I
have on my list here talent shows, but I love watching like X Factor and America's Got Talent. And I watch Got Talent shows from all over the world. Singapore's Got Talent, Bulgaria's Got Talent. I've watched videos of so many of these things. But I really like the opening tryout videos. I don't really care who wins.
Oh.
I could care less who wins.
Huh.
I love that moment where somebody who could be like you or me, who's you know, a waitress or, you know, working in a mine during the day, and then they have that moment where their talent gets discovered. And I know a lot of it's manufactured, but I still love that moment. So there's like some of the standouts for me was Jamie Archer. He was on Britain's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
He did Kings of Leon's, what's their song? Oh, I'm blanking on the name of the song, but he just killed it, absolutely killed it. Took over the stage, he was great. There's a group of four, I think Filipino sisters. That their band is called Fourth Power, and they're all very nice and demure. And then they did the song, and they just blew it. Just like I think the song was actually called Raise the Roof.
Mm.
They just absolutely killed it. And it was like so much fun watching, and everybody, you know, all the judges are jumping with them. So and then there's who is that woman in England?
Susan something. Yeah. Where she? Yeah.
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 Yeah. That's like a really emotional moment because I love watching that. I've watched that video probably a dozen times at least. So I love watching those. But what I hate about those shows is when I found out how manufactured the actual. So the judges, even though they're not part of the voting, right? They can totally manipulate the vote count by how they react to people's performances. So what happens in these shows is you have usually somebody who's like a ringer, like they're actually like legit. So the question is, why do so many of these people that win these shows don't go on to have great careers, and but like the fourth or fifth place person does? Well, usually that fourth or fifth place person was already a phenomenal performer, but the judges, they want to have an arc. They want to have that person that came from nowhere and went somewhere. So that really great performer that from the get-go, they'll start nitpicking and criticizing, and it plants seeds in the audience's head that they're struggling, so their vote counts go down. So there's a lot of shady stuff that the judges do to manipulate the vote count. Mm. And it'd be really bummed. Actually, I stopped watching these shows when I found that out.
Oh.
And then the other thing that just absolutely drove me nuts is anytime I see a child performing on these shows.
Why?
So there's a couple reasons. One, it's always the same thing. It's a kid who comes out and sings like really, you know, has this big booming voice, and everybody's like, oh my God, I've never heard a kid sing like that. I'm like, fuck you. You watch the show every year. There's always a kid with that same big booming voice.
Right.
It's not a surprise anymore. But what's really bad about it is, number one, two things. Having a kid come on who's probably not going to win, and have, you know, shower this kid with all this adoration only to set them up for being told they're not good enough and on a national stage. I'm just not cool with that. I don't think that's nice in general. But even worse, their vocal cords aren't mature enough to do what they're doing. So there's actually a technique where they're using their diaphragm to push out these big booming voices, and they're potentially causing long-term damage to their vocal cords. So I've read a couple of articles from vocal coaches that are like, they got to knock this, particularly when they're like doing opera. Mm-hmm. They're like, they're using a technique that is going to cause damage. So I kind of wish people would intervene and say, just get kids off these shows altogether.
Yeah.
Not likely to happen at all. Let's see, how are we doing? Yeah, well, we got so many more things to talk about.
Because I'm going to tell you about something I don't like is musicals. I don't.
Oh, I'm with you.
I do not like those.
Yeah, hate them.
I don't.
Hate them.
Yeah. I feel so curmudgeonly to say that, but I just don't. No.
I don't. Yeah, I'm with you. There's probably a couple exceptions that I did like over the years, but I can't think of any.
Like Dancer in the Dark, which is like basically an anti-musical.
I have no clue what you're talking about.
So Lars von Trier did Dancer in the Dark with Bjork. So it's a technically musical because she sings within it, but it's Bjork music.
Lars von Trier, is he a director?
Dog, yeah, he did Dog.
He's not the Brown Bunny guy, is he?
No. Yes, I
maybe.
Don't know. Yes. Brown Bunny.
I'm going to look this up really quick while we're stammering for something to say.
He did Dogwood. He did something with Nicole Kidman, and he's a very intense director, apparently. So Bjork, you know, acted in this musical, and of course I'm a huge Bjork fan, right? So I saw this musical, but it is not for the faint of heart. Like, do not watch that movie if you are not ready to weep. Went and saw it in an audience when I was in Kansas City. It came out so many years, like easily 20 plus years ago. And went and saw this audience, and like people were openly weeping at the end of it, like bawling. Is it him?
No, Brown Bunny was done by Vincent Gallo. Lars von Trier did the Nymphomaniac series.
Right, yeah, I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
But so that's the only musical I've ever liked.
Yeah, off the top of my head, I can't think of any. I'm sure there was something that I would be okay with, but
fuck you. People who are like, but Hamilton, no, I refuse.
Haven't seen it.
I haven't either.
I've also never seen this. The Sound of Music. Never seen it.
I can't say the only reason I like having seen The Sound of Music is so I can make fun of it.
Oh. You don't have to see it to make fun of it.
No, that's
it's
true.
Just in the zeitgeist.
I mean, that's how I feel about it. I've technically never seen Titanic, but
Titanic actually.
No, don't.
Yeah,
you can't. I
didn't mind it. I only saw it once. I only saw it once, but I didn't mind it.
Nope.
I'll tell you what I do hate. Snyder Cut. I'm so sick of hearing about it. I'm so sick
of. Did it come out already?
No, no. But it's like every day there's like a new image or a new story about it. I'm like, I don't care. It's probably gonna suck.
I think it's funny because when you said Snyder Cut for a split second, I thought you were talking about yourself.
No. Snyder Cut. So we talked about this last week or before.
Remember.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Zack Snyder's redoing the same movie that already sucked to follow up the other two movies he did that sucked. Yeah, I'm sick of it. I can't.
You really don't like him, huh?
No, I don't. So actually, somebody that I love is Maggie Mae Fish. She used to be on Cracked. So there was a YouTube channel called Cracked that came from the Cracked magazine.
Uh-huh.
And I'm really sad that that channel went defunct. I think they tried bringing it back, but it's not the same. So Maggie Mae Fish was one of the people on there. Now she does film analysis, and she did an amazing takedown of Zack Snyder and his Ayn Rand worship throughout all his movies, and really. So
you know who I hate with maybe no, not an equivalent passion because I don't actually do any research into his actual work. Michael Bay.
So if you wanted your research into his actual stuff, here's one of my probably my favorite film analyst studying person is Lindsay Ellis. And she did, she has a series of videos about Michael Bay. So
trashing him?
Actually, not as much as you would think. Yeah, trashing him because you can't not trash him.
I know.
But also somewhat defending, like, his style.
Okay. I don't need to say defense of his style.
But she does trash it. And she's really good. Lindsay Ellis is really good.
Okay.
She actually has a best-selling book out right now. Fantasy book. It's her first one.
I just like hating from a distance because I can just tell you right now that my dislike of Michael Bay is nothing compared to your dislike of Zack Snyder. Yeah, you're like next level with that.
Did you like any of Michael Bay's earlier movies, like The Rock or
No?
Yeah,
I mean The Rock, yes.
It had its charm.
Yeah,
but that's about as far as I'll go with them.
Those fucking Transformer films. Can fuck themselves because those things make zero sense.
None.
And they are just a hot, bloody mess of things flying around on the screen. I don't know who's who. I can't tell. It's too dark, and then it's too bright, and it's too fast, and it's just fighting for no. I mean, the rage I feel about how bad those movies were, I can't even.
And they kept getting worse and worse.
Yes.
The first one was kind of watchable.
Yeah.
For the 10 minutes I saw of it. But they just, yeah.
Just kept going bad.
They just kept going.
What waste of resources. Like, what a waste of energy and time. We still give Michael Bay money to make films? I can't. I mean, he must make money, so.
Yeah. I mean, they just made another Bad Boys. Actually, Bad Boys for Life, I think, was the number one grossing movie domestically in 2020.
Oh, my God.
Mainly because nothing else got released after it. Like if you go back and look at like the top 10 list, it's like, what if 10 years from now, if you know nothing about 2020 and just saw the top 10 list, you would assume that like everybody lost their freaking minds. It's like Bad Boys for Life and then that Robert Downey Jr. movie, but Dr. Doolittle.
Was panned too.
It's in the top 10.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
God, that's tragic.
Yeah. It's pretty bad. Wonder Woman, I'm pretty sure Wonder Woman made the top 10, but just barely.
Of 2020?
Yeah.
How?
Because it was released in December.
Oh. And it made?
I think. I'd have to look, but I think it eked in. Like, Tenet made it into the top 10.
Oh.
So.
Right, because there's nothing else. So. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I went and saw Tenet. Yeah.
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 Speaking of things I hate now. I think we already talked about Tenet once.
Well, and I actually like the director on that one is, what's his name? What's his face? I actually like his work.
Nolan Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Nolan Ryan. No. That's a baseball pitcher.
Yeah, I was going to say. I was like,
oh, it's something Nolan.
Christopher Nolan?
Christopher Nolan, yeah.
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 I like his work.
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it, but I do think he's overrated. I think he's pretty overrated.
Sure.
Not as overrated as George Lucas, but he's up there.
Not as overrated as Zack Snyder.
Yeah. So the thing about Zack Snyder, he has his, like, and I think they actually call him, either they call themselves or somebody else called him his acolytes. Like, these people that are just, like, devoted, feverish fans of him. And I'm like, go. Just go away. Leave. You've been banished.
Here.
We should bring back pellet guns.
Just
to shoot at Zack Snyder fans when they try to explain to you why he's so great. It's like, cool. The little Jesus motif, first 500 times was interesting. You can put it to bed now.
Little Jesus. Oh, we would shoot people about that type of stuff.
I think we're at that point.
I guess that is my level of rage.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So
wait, but we just ended on something negative. Now we gotta end on something positive. We have to leave. Okay, y'all.
I got something.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Do it.
All right. So one other random thing that I absolutely adore on YouTube, right?
Okay.
The Try Channel.
What?
The Try Channel.
T-R-Y?
T-R-Y. It is just Irish people eating things. And I there is nothing funnier to me than Irish people with their little Irish accent eating like Dorian fruit or ghost pepper chili candy.
Oh,
it's so adorable. There's something about their voices when they're trying to yak from eating Dorian. Do you know what Dorian fruit is?
Yes,
yeah.
I do.
Yeah. So go give them go check out their channel. They're fun.
That's kind of a thing all over though. Like there's the cholos who try things. That one's pretty funny.
Yeah, there's a Japanese couple. I think it might be Korean. I saw them a couple years ago, but
yeah.
The Irish people, it's their voices and their person. There's something about their voices that just cracks me up.
So you know, there's another trend which is on YouTube, but also on TikTok, obviously, is listening to animals eat things. So like you give a little beaver and you hear the little beaver eat things. I don't like I have misophonia. I don't like listening to things being.
I'll pass. Although I do. There's a page channel. On TikTok that I like, that's all pandas.
Yeah, they're eating bamboo. I don't like that. I realize I'm like, I don't want to watch an animal eat something.
Yeah, the whole ASMR thing.
Ugh.
It's not me.
No.
Not me at all.
No, remember Scott said it was.
Yeah, Scott was really into that, and I'm like, no.
No. I think it's a little bit like those eye things, either you have it or you don't.
Right.
Like, and I can't do those eye things. I've never been able to.
Sometimes.
No, I can't.
For me, it's hit or miss.
I've never.
Get stoned. Try it stoned.
I probably wouldn't. My eyes are so jacked up. I don't think it's difficult for people to understand how bad they are.
So for me, it wasn't so much about my eyes. It was about my brain would not allow my eyes to unfocus.
Oh, I can do that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and that was the trick. But long time ago, when I still smoked weed, I one night I actually was able to do it, and I was like, oh my god, there is a bunny there.
I've heard that either you can or you can't, but it's not.
Yeah.
It
took a long time. It took a long time for me.
Yeah.
And now, I can sometimes get it, and sometimes it's just not. I just can't bring it in. There's one right behind you. It's behind the tarp, but there is literally one right behind you.
What is it up?
It's just a magic eye book that I've had for like 30
years. Oh,
okay,
yeah. Okay,
I've had it for like 30 years.
No, I can't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, ASMR or that. Nope, not my jam.
All right. So last thing, something to recommend. We'll do our normal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I've recommended a bunch of things. So.
This is what I'm going to recommend, particularly because this is going to be the last one of the season is. If you are a person who is consuming media, just let people know that you're consuming their media. Rate their stuff. Send them missives. Let them know. Give a shout out. Like, we know that you're out there listening to us. And I mean that for us, too. Like, you know, like, I love it when our fans chime in and let us know what's going on and contradict, like, argue with me about something that I said or Jeff said. And then, Like, that, I don't think it's difficult to articulate how wonderful that feels to know that what you're putting in the world matters to people, even if it's a small batch of people. Because let's be real, a lot of it is my family giving me feedback, and my brother, my sister, like, they have a lot of, you know, they're big in my life and they give me feedback. And that's like, sometimes I'm like, well, I think I'm just kind of doing this podcast for my family, but, and Yovana, right? Like a couple of people and yeah. who listen, and Anna and Anna, I'm sorry, not Anna, Anna.
But, I don't think Anna listens to us.
No. See, yeah. Well, I think she gave it a try, but.
Yeah. We argue too much. She can't do it.
That's true. We do get kind of heated. So I just like share your, and then share with the world. And I don't mean just with us, but like, there is something about talking about the media you consume with other people that is very bonding and amazing. And like, I ended up in a conversation with some of my coworkers about TikTok, and it was just so exciting for us all to talk about. And you're very poorly recreating TikToks in the conversation, but it's still somehow very hilarious.
Yeah.
And I just, so that's like the thing I want to say. I love it when people do that. Like, I decided to write a bunch of authors whose books I had read, and I just was like, I'm just gonna send them a note to let them know I liked their work. Done. End of story. They will never write me back. I'll never know. But I just thought, it just feels great. So just do those things. Just let the creators know that you like their work.
Yeah. Especially with modern American society, it's so fragmented and it's so like compartmentalized that talking about what you consume kind of reestablishes a community that otherwise doesn't exist if you're just sitting at home watching, you know.
Yeah.
And there's nothing wrong with just sitting at home watching if that's what you want to do, but it's rewarding to go out. I totally agree with you. So it's completely rewarding to go out and talk about it with other people.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, on that note.
Wait, no, you haven't. You have to do what?
I've been recommending stuff this
That's
whole show.
True, you have. I'm just
The Tri Channel, the Prince video.
True.
Stay away from late 70s music because it's all bad.
Stay away from all the 70s music.
Okay, this is how you know the late 70s was bad. ABBA and the Bee Gees were the top performers.
What are you talking smack about ABBA?
I hate ABBA.
Oh my God.
I hate ABBA. All right, we're supposed to end on a positive note. Australian Pink
Dancing
Floyd.
Queen.
Australian Pink Floyd. If you get a chance, hopefully their tour will go off this year. I'm not sure if it's going to or not.
They're called Australian Pink Floyd?
Yeah, well, they're a tribute band from Australia.
Oh, okay.
So they are the Australian Pink Floyd.
Okay.
But if you get a chance, if you like Pink Floyd, this is as close as you will ever get to the real experience. So look for them. And if they're in your town, they do an American tour basically every other year. So even if this tour gets jacked up because of COVID, look for them again a year from now. But if you're a Pink Floyd fan, seek them out, go see them. It's one of the best live experiences you'll have.
And then write them a note.
And on that note, we will see you in,
we don't know when,
a couple months maybe.
Yeah,
months? I don't know. We'll
we haven't
it out.
Done that math yeah. yet. So,
so this look out for season 4 coming sometime. This is Jeff
and Renee.
What the what?
Thanks for listening. That was What the What. You can follow us on social media at WTW Popcast, and that's on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook.
You can also email us at WTWPopcast@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Special Feather.
And you can find me on Twitter at TheBWFans and on YouTube, Bandwagon Fans. Thanks for listening.